Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Zmira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek 89, Pei Tet. We have now arrived at the final chapter of the third book of Tehillim. This last mizmor takes many of the themes we've explored throughout the book, questions of divine justice, national suffering, and the silence of Hashem, and applies them to one painful, concrete example, the apparent fall of the Davidic dynasty. Malchut Beit David was meant to be eternal. The kings of this dynasty were chosen by Hashem to represent his presence on earth, and yet, as this mizmor describes, that royal line has collapsed. We are left not only without leadership, but with a profound sense of spiritual abandonment. If the throne of Hashem's chosen king can be cast to the ground, where is Hashem's promise? This emotionally charged mizmor was composed by Eitan HaEzrachi, a prominent Levi and poet. In Divrei HaYamim Aleph, Perek Vav, we learn that during the time of David HaMelech, David appointed Levim to sing in front of the Mishkan, selecting one descendant from each of the three sons of Levi to lead his family in song. Who were these three leaders? None other than the three authors of the third book of Tehillim. Eitan HaEzrachi, the author of our Perek today, led the family of Merari. Haman, a descendant of Korach and the author of the Mizmor we studied yesterday, led the family of Kehat. And Asaph, the author of the first 11 Mizmorim of our Sefer, led the family of Gershon. Together, these three leaders, Eitan, Haman, and Asaph, formed a musical trio leading the nation in song before the Aron Kodesh. Each brought a unique voice, yet all were united in their praise of Hashem. It is striking that the composers of this emotionally complex sefer were also those whose voice filled the Mishkan with melodies accompanying the korbanot. In Sefer Tehillim, their music takes on a new form, giving voice to the anguish, longing, questions, and hope of a nation in exile. In Psukim Bet and Gimel 2 and 3, Eitan HaEzrachi begins with words of praise to Hashem. Before launching into painful questions and expressions of confusion, he first establishes a crucial foundation. At his core, he believes in Hashem's goodness and faithfulness. Even as he prepares to confront the apparent contradictions between Hashem's promises and the painful reality of the fallen Davidic monarchy, Eitan declares his everlasting faith. Hashem's chesed and faithfulness are not up for debate. They are eternal truths. This introduction frames the entire mizmor. The questions that follow are not signs of rebellion or doubt in Hashem's essence, but an attempt to reconcile love for Hashem with the suffering he sees around him. Pasuk Bet. Chasdei Hashem olam ashira. I will sing of Hashem's kindness forever. Lador vador odia emunatcha b'fi. I will tell of your faithfulness to every generation. Pasuk Gimel. Ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh. For I have said the world is built on kindness. Shamayim tachin emunatcha b'hem. In the heavens you establish your faithfulness. In the next section, Psukim 4 to 38, Eitan talks about how Hashem has promised an eternal dynasty to David HaMelech. His opening lines in Psukim 4 and 5 are a heading for the entire section in which he quotes Hashem's own words. Verse 4, Karti brit levchirai, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. Nishbati leDavid avdi, I swore to David my servant. Verse 5, Ad olam achin zarecha, I will establish your offspring forever. Uvaniti ledor vador kisecha selah, and build up your throne for all generations. Eitan then continues over the next 13 psukim to describe Hashem's unmatched greatness and might. This is not a tangent, it's purposeful. He is laying the groundwork for his argument. If Hashem is all-powerful, if he rules over nature and nations, if he crushes enemies and rules with righteousness, then surely he has the strength and ability to fulfill his promises. These psukim build the emotional logic of the mizmor. If Hashem is so great, how could the promise to David HaMelech be broken? We'll read a few of these psukim inside. Verse 10. Ata Moshel Bege'ir Hayam, you rule over the stormy sea. Bishav Galav Ata Tishabchim. When its waves rise, you calm them. Verse 11. Atad dikata kechalal Rahav, you crushed Rahav, the enemy, like a corpse. Bizroa uzecha pizarto evecha, With your powerful arm, you scattered your enemies. Verse 12, Lecha shamayim af lecha aretz. The heavens are yours, and so is the earth. Teva mulua ata yisadatam. The world and all that fills it, you establish them. Verse 14, Lecha zroa im gvura. Your arm is strong with might. Ta'oz yadcha tarum yiminecha. Your hand is powerful, your right hand is lifted high. Tzedek u'mishman mishpat mechon kis'echa. Justice and righteousness are the foundation of your throne. Chesed ve'emet yikadmu panecha. Kindness and truth go before you. Based on all of this, we have every reason to expect that if Hashem makes a promise, he can and will fulfill it. In Psukim 16 to 19, the focus shifts from Hashem's power to our response, the praise and joy of his people. These verses are familiar to us as they are recited during the shofar blowing on Rosh Hashanah. Verse 16, Ashrei ha'am yodei trua, happy is the nation that knows the shofar sound, be'or panecha yaleichun, sorry, Hashem be'or panecha yaleichun, they walk in the light of your presence, Hashem. This pasuk describes the nation that knows the trua, a reference to both the shofar blast and the inner awareness of Hashem's presence. Verse 17, b'shimcha yagilun kol hayom, they rejoice in your name all day, u'v'tzikatecha yarumu, and are lifted up by your righteousness. 18, ki tiferet uzimu ata, you are the glory of their strength, u'v'rtzoncha tarimu karninu, and by your favor you raise up our pride. We are a people who rejoice in Hashem's name. This section paints a picture of a nation deeply connected to Hashem, constantly celebrating his presence in their lives. The implication is subtle but powerful. If we are loyal to Hashem and continually praise him, how could he seem to have turned away from us now? So now the stage is set. We've established that Hashem is all-powerful, his faithfulness never wavers, and that Am Yisrael continually recognize him as king, walking in his ways and singing his praises. With that foundation in place, Eitan HaEzrachi turns to the heart of the Mizmor, the detailed promise that Hashem gave to David HaMelech. This wasn't just a vague promise. It was a clear, eternal breach passed down through his descendants, backed by Hashem's oath. As we'll see in the next Pesukim 20 to 38, the terms of this promise were explicit and unconditional, making what follows in the Mizmor even more emotionally jarring. Eitan HaEzrachi here quotes Hashem, verse 21. Matzati David Avdi, I found David my servant, v'shemen kodshi mishachtiv, I anointed him with my holy oil. 22. Asher yadi tikon imo, my hand will support him, af zoi tamsenu, my arm will give him strength. 24. V'chatoti mipanav tzarav, I will crush his enemies before him, umisanav egof, and strike down those who hate him. Verse 29. Le'olam eshmor lo chasti, I will keep my kindness for him forever. Uvriti ne'emenet lo, and my treaty will stand firm for him. Verse 30. V'samti la'ad zar'o, I will make his descendants last forever. V'kis'o kimei shamayim, and his throne is enduring as the days of heaven. 31. Im yazvu banav torati, if his children abandon my Torah, v'mishpatai lo yalechun, and don't follow my laws. 33, Ufakarati v'sheva pisham, I will punish their sins with a rod, uvinegaim avonam, and their wrongdoing with afflictions. 34, v'chasti lo afir meimo, but I will not take away my kindness from him. Uvilo shaker be'emunati, nor betray my faithfulness. 35, lo echalel briti, I will not break my covenant, umotzas vatai lo Lo Ashana, and I will not change what I have said. 37. Zar'o li'olam yiyeh, his descendants will last forever. V'kis'o k'shemesh negdi, and his throne will be like the sun before me. This sounds like a remarkably firm and unwavering promise. Hashem told David in no uncertain terms that he would uphold his dynasty forever. Even if David's descendants were to sin, Hashem pledged to remain with them, to confront their enemies, and to ensure that the Davidic line would endure for all time. Now in section 3, Psukim 39 to 46, we arrive at the heart of Eitan HaEzrachi's complaint. Everything until now was leading to this moment. Eitan is not simply questioning. He is heartbroken. How could it be that a promise so direct, so eternal, appears to have been broken? The tone shifts dramatically here, from praise and trust to shock, grief, and confusion. Eitan's words are raw and at times even harsh. In fact, the Ibn Ezra notes that some Talmidei Chachamim refused to read or listen to this perek because it was too difficult for them. It felt too chutzpahdik, too bold, too harsh, perhaps even inappropriate or heretical. How could one speak to Hashem like this? And yet, we know, this perek is included in Sefer Tehillim. It's part of Tanakh, because this is not a voice of rebellion. It's a voice of deep pain. Eitan is not attacking Hashem. He's struggling with what he sees, trying to understand a world that seems to contradict everything he believes. As we saw in past Prakim, we learned that in times of darkness, we are allowed to ask Hashem, "Where are you? Why do I feel abandoned? Why do you allow tragedy to happen?" But at the same time, to continue to believe and to hold on to our emunah and faith in Hashem. Let's look at some of these psukim inside. Verse 39. Vataza nachta v'timas. You've rejected and spurned. Hitabarta imishichecha. You have become angry with your anointed one. Verse 40. Ne'arta brit avdecha. You have thrown away the covenant with your servant. Chilalta le'eretz nizro. You've defiled his crown in the dirt. He talks about the physical destruction. Paratzta, 41. Paratzta kol gitrotav. You broke down all his gates, his walls. Samta mivsarav mechita. You turned his strongholds into ruins. 43. Harimota yamin sarav. You strengthened his enemy's right hand. Ismachta kol oivav. You made all his foes rejoice. Aftashiv tzor cherbo, you've dulled the edge of his sword. V'lo akimoto b'melchama. And you didn't support him in battle. We see here the physical destruction, but looking back at 42, we also see the emotional side, the humiliation. Shasuhu kol ovrei derech. Everyone who passed by him looted him. Ayacher palashchinav, he's become a joke to his neighbors. And finally, the ultimate blow and the end of the kingship, verse 45. Hishpata mitaro, you've ended his splendor. V'kis'o la'aretz migarta. You've cast his throne down to the ground. Eitan Ezrahi is grappling here with one of the core questions that echoes throughout the entire third book of Tehillim. How are we supposed to understand the events of this world that seem to defy all logic, justice, and divine promises? These are the moments that shake our understanding of Hashem's ways, the times when what we see appears to contradict everything we believe to be true. Eitan gives voice to this pain. Not to abandon faith, but to struggle within it, modeling how to bring our confusion and heartbreak directly to Hashem. In section 4, verses 47 to 52, Eitan expresses his bewilderment to Hashem. 47, Ad ma Hashem tisater lanetzach? How long, Hashem, will you hide yourself forever? Tivar kamo esh chamatecha? Will your anger burn like fire? Verse 50, Aye chastecha rishonim, Hashem? Where is your former kindness, Hashem? Nishpata leDavid beEmunatecha? What you swore to David in your faithfulness? And verse 54, he calls out, Zechor Hashem cherpata vadecha. Remember, Hashem, the disgrace of your servants. This piercing cry at the end of this section echoes the mournful cry of Megillat Eicha, where we say, Zechor Hashem mahayalanu, habita ureit cherpatinu. Remember, Hashem, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Eitan Ezrahi concludes his words here not with divrei nechama, words of comfort, but with divrei kin'ah, words of lamentation. He is at a point of utter despair, unable to see any immediate hope or relief. We seem to have arrived here at the end of this mizmor with a very painful and bleak ending. The promises to David HaMelech seem broken. The monarchy lies in ruins, and Eitan Ezrahi expresses deep confusion and heartbreak. But yet, he musters up the strength to squeeze out one last final pasuk, verse 53. Nun Gimel. Baruch Hashem li'olam. Amin v'amin. Blessed is Hashem forever. Amin and amin. Despite everything, the shattered throne, the national pain, Eitan closes with a resounding Baruch Hashem. I will bless Hashem forever, no matter what. This is what we call bitachon, or faith. Fascinatingly, this is not unique to the end of this sefer, the third book of Tehillim. Every single sefer of Tehillim concludes with a declaration of praise to Hashem, and almost all of them end with a form of Baruch Hashem, signaling that no matter the journey each book takes us on, whether stories of suffering, hope, confusion or triumph, the conclusion is always the same. Hashem's name will be blessed. We see this repeating over and over again. The end of book one, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael mi'olam ve'ad olam, amin v'amin. The end of book two, Baruch Shem Kvodo li'olam v'yamalei Kvodo et kol ha'aretz, amin v'amin. The end of book three, our book, Baruch Hashem li'olam, amin v'amin. The end of book four, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam ve'ad olam v'yumru kol ha'am, amin, halleluka. And the end of book five, Kol ha'neshama ta'alelka halleluka, which is not the phrase Baruch Hashem, but still bursts with unwavering praise. This repeated structure teaches us something deep. Each book of Tehillim, like each chapter of our lives, may be full of ups and downs, struggles and doubts, but we always end with Baruch Hashem. That is the Jewish way. This afternoon, my sister asked me how I was doing, and I instinctively answered Baruch Hashem. And then it hit me. People say Baruch Hashem all the time. Sometimes life is great. Sometimes it's hard. But we still say Baruch Hashem. Maybe it's because we don't always want to talk about our struggles, but maybe, on a deeper level, it's because no matter what we're going through, we still believe Hashem is good. We still believe in His plan. We still say Baruch Hashem. Just like Eitan Ezrachi, just like David HaMelech, just like every Jew who has walked through destruction and tragedy and still whispered Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem is not just a phrase. It's a conclusion of every chapter of Tehillim and every chapter of our lives. To conclude, Tehillim 89, like the entire book of third book of Tehillim, does not wrap up with a neat or happy ending. There is no miraculous resolution, no sudden clarity. Instead, it is raw, real, and deeply faithful. This mizmor teaches us a profound lesson. Emuna and bitachon do not mean ignoring pain or pretending everything is fine. True faith means being able to sing of Hashem's kindness, to question when that kindness seems hidden, and still to bless Him at the end. We are invited to bring our whole selves into our relationship with Hashem, to express joy and gratitude, but also sorrow, confusion, and doubt. Like children speaking honestly to a loving parent, we are allowed to feel, and through that honest connection, we can build the strongest and most unwavering form of emuna, one that stands firm even when the answers are unclear. May we all internalize this powerful message, to feel deeply, to speak to Hashem freely, and to always return to Baruch Hashem with hearts full of hope, trust, and long-lasting belief. As we come to the end of Sefer Gimel of Tehillim and of our learning journey together, I want to take a moment to express my deep gratitude. Thank you to Rebbetzin Dr. Adina Schmidman and the OU Women's Initiative for giving me the tremendous opportunity to truly immerse myself in the world of Tehillim. To be honest, I never felt a deep connection to Sefer Tehillim. Like many, I turned to its words in times of need, but I didn't always feel that I understood them or connected to their depth. When I was asked to teach the Sefer, I agreed, but I wasn't sure how much I would really have to say. What followed was an incredible journey, spending time learning, analyzing the structure and themes of each parak, understanding who the authors were, and looking at the insights of the Mefarshim. It opened up an entirely new appreciation for me. This experience gave me a real taste of the true depth and beauty of Tehillim, and for that, I'm truly grateful. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sherit HaPlita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.